May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, last weekend, my wife Kathy and I slipped away to Vancouver, BC for a couple of nights of rest and relaxation. We stayed near Stanley Park and walked the seawall in the city with great delight in what was perfect weather the whole time we were there. It must have been the first Friday evening of perfect weather for our northern neighbors because the locals came out in droves on that Friday evening a week ago to bask in the sun, to play on the beach, and to watch the sunset over English Bay. There was in the scene a sense of pilgrimage. People from all walks of life arising from their dens of winter and converging seaside just to be together. As Kathy and I shared a bench with an elderly gentleman who nodded off in the warmth of the evening, we knew that we were part of something larger than ourselves. We were part of a community that had gathered, and all there were unrushed in our wait for an unhurried sun to set in the west. I was also aware that all of our senses were helping us mark the time as special. The taste of our delicious dinner still was on our tongues. From jovial groups in the grass nearby, the aroma of marijuana wafted to us. The gentle touch of my partner's hand on my leg and her hair wisping in the breeze. Yes, it was her hair, not mine. The scene of so many people in one place bound together in the joy and gratitude for the moment. That was the thing. And the sounds were there too, the water lapping, the birds singing, and most notably the myriad languages that were spoken all around us. Vancouver, as you know, is truly a cosmopolitan city, an international city, and its diversity can be heard at every turn. While sitting there on that bench as we waited for the sun to set, maybe an hour, a little more, we heard so many languages, French and German and some Eastern European tongue, and Arabic and Urdu and Farsi and Hindi and Japanese and several dialects of Chinese. There were others too. I couldn't even make out what they were saying or what language it was, and yet I had a keen sense that I understood them in that moment of our common humanity. And I was richer for the experience of being around them. Today, my friends, is the Feast of Pentecost, an ancient festival tied to the winter wheat harvest in Palestine. It was an occasion for pilgrimage to the holy city, to the cosmopolitan city, to common humanity, to bind together in joy and gratitude for the fruit of the earth. It was an occasion to mark time together in festive observance that one season was turning into another according to God's design. And into that milieu of that Pentecost, this motley crew of disciples, those who had followed Jesus when he walked this earth, they turned on this day, but they did not yet fully understand the journey still ahead of them. This group arose from their den of bewildered fear, having been set loose by the Spirit, and they joined the festive scene on the street. There was, in their moment, a sense of solidarity with all those who were gathered there, which it seems to me is that real gift of the Spirit, the sense of solidarity, of connectivity, delivered to them on that day for all who were present, to people of all time who are willing to wait and watch and listen for the Spirit to move, including you and me who gather here today as we take our place in this great festival that is Pentecost. This day marks a point of transition in the church year. It is an invitation into something new now in our lives, in this community. Buoyed by a full 50 days of Easter acclamation that invites us into resurrected life on this side of the grave, we now turn into what lays next in our journey. We cannot yet fully understand it. Plotting the course as disciples of this Jesus, the Christ, who has laid down all sorts of guideposts for us to help us find our way, in a few moments, we'll be asked to renew our baptismal covenant. And as we reaffirm our covenantal vows as disciples, as baptized Christians, we will speak of breaking bread together and of participating in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, that is, to take our place with them on this day. And we'll speak of our commitment to prayer. We speak of proclaiming the good news of God in Christ, of servanthood, of justice and peace, and respecting human dignity. There is in all of this baptismal covenant a keen sense of common humanity, that we are bound together, that we are pledging ourselves to a journey in which joy and gratitude must become the transformative gifts of the Spirit that will bind us together for good, for healing, for renewal of God's purpose for all of creation. This is our Pentecost. On the day Kathy and I headed to Vancouver 10 days ago, our presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, released a brief video inviting us to pray as Episcopalians, to pray. His exhortation is actually part of a 10-day video series prompted and invited by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, who says his journey as a follower of Christ has so transformed his life that he wants to share it with others. That's what has been his life conviction since coming to know this Jesus. He wants others to know this Jesus, and he invites us to pray for folks in this broken, hurting world that they might experience this transformative existence that we call the Christian way and life. Now with that, this week, social media lit up with outrage at the thought of it, and with backlash at the proposal from the Archbishop of Canterbury and our presiding bishop, that somehow the outrage was this, that the appeal to prayer and to proclaim the good news of God is really, God in Christ is really a wolf in sheep's clothing. It is really Christian leaders guilty of more neocolonial proselytizing, they said. For my part, I'm a bit nonplussed at a charge that Michael Curry, an African-American descendant of slaves, might be guilty of neocolonialism. But I get it, underneath the charge on social media, underneath that, I suspect there is a legitimate wariness given our Christian history of crusades and imperial colonization in the world in the name of Christ and the tragic deal with the devil that came and still comes in the form of manifest destiny. I get the admonition to avoid such historically arrogant and evil forms of evangelism. But my friends, I do not think Welby and Curry are going there, nor are they asking us to. Rather, Presiding Bishop Curry says eloquently in his video that we pray because prayer changes us. Because prayer brings God into our focus. Prayer, he says, prayer alters the chemistry of the moment. Prayer changes the equation of history and life, sometimes in ways we can see, sometimes we can't. But when we renew our vow in a few moments to pray, to our commitment to be involved and participate in the prayers, it is because we know deep down that connection with God is what we desperately need to find our way. And what would it look like? What does it look like for you to proclaim the good news of God in Christ? As we make our vow in a few moments to do just that, not in some hubristic delusion that we have all the answers, no, but because this journey we call the Christian way and life is designed, is set up, is established to be so transformative in our lives that we cannot help but want to share it with others, not to beat them over the head, but to just share with them the good news that this has done and is in our lives. What would that look like? Such sharing in no way lessens the beautiful glimpses of God delivered into the hands and hearts of adherents to other religions. Surely we can say God is greater than the sum total of all human imagination, right? And the Spirit, we're told, blows where she will. To which I'd say, thanks be to God. We don't have control. But here on this day, here in this moment of transition, here on this feast of Pentecost in which we will baptize these young children, we are reminded once more that transformation is the journey. Transformation is the journey. And as we set out anew as Christian pilgrims, we make our prayer, our earnest prayer, your kingdom come, O God, your will be done on earth, yes, in our lives, yes, in this moment, right here, right now, your will be done. And we trust that prayer changes the equation of history and of life, beginning with your life and mine.